Oh, here I am. I forgot to put myself on the screen. How is everybody tonight? Don't worry, it's not alcohol. It's just flat Dr. Pepper tonight. That's what I roll with. Flat Dr. Pepper. I hope everybody had a great week so far and a good weekend. I had a good weekend. It was a great one, actually. What's everybody doing? Whoops. Crap, I'm just totally screwing anything up. Anyway, I was trying to get a camera to aim up at this TV here for tonight. That way I could post up that video that's been going crazy on TikTok. So that video has gotten, what is it, like, let me put this down a little bit. Let me see my, this needs to go with it. let's see. That video has gotten, I think, like 180,000, 190,000 views on it. And some of the comments are like fucking legit. Like they almost make you want to tear up reading some of these comments. And what's up, Matt? You're driving? Boy, you better be careful. Can't be jamming out. What's going on, Clinton? But yeah, some of the comments on that video is like, it's really, I don't know. I can't even describe it, to be honest with you. I really can't. It's, I don't know. It kind of tugs at your heartstrings. You know what I mean? That video was really, actually, of course, it's not going to be, I think it's like a minute and 15 seconds. It's the full body cam is like a little over an hour and a half. So I literally sat there with her for like an hour and a half that day. And it was a crazy, crazy day for me that day. That's for sure. But on a side note, we're not going to talk about that one just yet. The one that I want to talk about too is just the other day, at my other job. I show up at the house to do my job. And as soon as I get there, she's not answering the door. But you know, you anybody that pays attention to certain things, you know, you look at certain things. You look at, like, if the person has paper, handwritten, you know, don't knock on the door, ring the doorbell, ring the white doorbell. You can almost tell by the handwriting almost how old they are. I mean, I don't know. So anyway, I looked at this handwriting. And I was looking at it, and it said, it said, ring the white doorbell, and it had shaky handwriting. And then it said her name, Dr. such and such. I thought, okay, this is probably an elderly person right here. Cause you know, it just the style of the handwriting. So I was like, okay, ring the doorbell. Nobody answered. So I sat there and I was like, all right. So I made my calls. Got the calls, and I shit you not. She opens up the door and she's like, I didn't hear you. And I was like, that's cool. I'm not worried about it. Go inside and I go to perform the job. And I was like, I don't see anything here that pertains to us. Like, why am I here? And I'm looking and looking, and you don't want to look over this. This house is like 3,000 square foot house. You really don't want to force your way through the house. I'm a big guy. With a beard, with the tattoos, and it's an older woman. She's about she was 84 years old. You don't want to just start forcing your way through the house. You have to kind of walk through it. You have to kind of just do your thing, you know, and kind of just roll with it. So I'm doing my thing, and I'm like, why am I even here? There's nothing here that's ours. There's nothing here pertaining to why I'm here. I was like, something's not right. So I start talking to her, and she said something. She said something, but it was pretty quick. She says, I've had two strokes in the past and I don't remember anything. And I thought, ah, fuck. That's all I could think of. I was like, oh, you know, like crap. And I said, well, I said, okay, so I said, ma'am, we don't have anything here that's ours. There's nothing here for me to do. I don't have it. She says, so what do I do? And I said, if with your permission, let me see what I can do for you, like help you out as far as I can go. So I go through and I end up calling AT&T, and AT&T, I had to let her basically say the security codes and everything. And AT&T was like, no, she's not under contract with us. We haven't been out there for a couple of years. And I was like, okay. So I'll call my boss. So I called my boss. My boss was like, yeah, it shows that we have our stuff there, but I don't understand. I said, bro, she's making payments on this thing. She's been making payments for a while. So come to find out, she was making payments on a system that was not even there. So they're crediting her money. I got her money back, and then she's going to proceed. But, you know, it just takes one person to actually take the time and a little bit of initiative to make a difference in someone's life. That lady was probably on a fixed income. And come to find out, her daughter, her kids, they don't live here where she's at. They don't live in the States. They live abroad. So it just takes that one person to make the initiative to actually say, you know what, I'm going to help you out, because if you were my grandmother, I would want somebody to help me out too, or help her out. And it was just kind of like, crap, you know, and it really bugged me to the core that if this is the one that I caught, how many out there is it happening to? You know, and that's a question you have to ask yourself, because there's so many of us out there. And there's so many people out there, and it's kind of like, wow, you know, what do you do? How do you go about fixing this? Because it just wasn't right. So I did as far as I could go. I made all the calls, sent all the emails as far as I could go without, you know, crossing the lines. And I thought, man, you know, if I was glad I was there, you know, because I'm that person to just help her out, make the difference. And I thought, man, you know, I wouldn't want this to happen to my family or my friends, you know, or anybody else, because it's just, when you've got nobody, man, it's like, who do you turn to? She doesn't drive. Okay. Let's do this. She doesn't drive. She gets her medication in the mail. She gets her, groceries delivered to her. She pays all her bills like online, because she's not like that incoherent. I just spit all over this thing. So she's not that bad, but I'm saying she's 84 years old and she had two strokes. She has post-it notes everywhere and notes, because she's not a dumb woman, you know what I mean? By any far stretch of the imagination, she's not. And she still functions with an email. She remembers back when she was a doctor. She remembers certain things when she was a doctor. She says, I've got two master's degrees. I've got two doctorates. And I thought, what? Phenomenal. Phenomenal lady. And I thought, man, and there's nobody here to help her out. So I helped her out, like I said, as far as I could go. And that, you know, and that really just, that kind of irked me. Like it still kind of irks me. But anyway, that was just the other day. I wanted to talk about that, as well as that body cam. I'll be honest with you, man. That body cam was crazy. So what was it? And I'm looking off. There's nobody here. I'm just looking off like I do. Like I'm thinking of the thoughts and I'm like, oh, there's the thought. And I plug it into my cranium. So the video I posted on TikTok, has, like I said, has gotten like 190,000 views or something. I don't know. And it's still going. It's still pushing out there. And I thought, holy cow, it's got like 30 something shares. And it's my body cam. So if for people that have not seen that body cam, the little 1 minute clip, all it shows is me saying, she's over there. Yeah, good luck. Well, the person that said good luck is not another officer. I don't want anybody to think that that was another cop being rude. It wasn't. It was not a cop. I was the only officer on duty. So I didn't say anything to that. And I just kept walking, walk over there, knock on the door. And she comes out. First thing out of her mouth was, you know, now what did I do? So obviously the cops have been there before. So I said, do you remember me? I said, me and you chit-chatted about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. She says, vaguely. And then I think I said something else, and she looks at my last name and she says, Harris? Oh my God. And she comes in and you see my arm reach out. And I said, come here. And I can tell, you guys can't really tell on the body cam footage, but I can tell in person that she was about to break down and start crying. That's why my arm went out. And I went out, she started crying. And as soon as she hits the body cam, it goes black because we're hugging. And she is crying so hard into my shirt. Like I had the wet spots on my shirt because of all of her tears. And she was just letting it out. But it wasn't like a cry like you would if you look, you were a kid and you stubbed your toe. You know what I mean? It's not like one of those cries. It was like a from the depths of your soul cry, and to where your breathing is wrong. It's hard to describe it. But anyway, the video's there. It's on TikTok. It's also on the YouTube channel on this channel on the shorts. I think it's posted on just a regular video, but you guys can see it. And that's what I wanted to show, the video, and go over it, but I can't get the camera to work. I'm sorry, y'all. I failed as a aspiring podcaster. I just let everybody down. So the backstory on that video was about 2 years ago. I can't remember exactly. It was about 2 years ago. And the thing was that I wasn't on duty. Not even close. I believe I showed up. It was for court. So I didn't have my vest. I didn't have my duty rig. And there's no body cam. There's no nothing. And I don't have, I'm just there. And then it was, okay, the officer, we get a call. He gets a call. We're at the PD because we're getting ready to go into court. He gets a call. We get a call on the radio. And we hear, you know, something to the effect of she's trying to hurt herself, self-harm, blah, blah, blah. The officer on duty was like, man, this is like the third time I've been out there. I was like, bro, I'll go with you. I don't mind court, but I'll go with you. This is much more entertaining than court. So I was like, all right. So then went to the house. We go in and we are all right. Then all of a sudden chief pulls up. Chief's a cool guy. Officer's a cool guy. Everybody I worked with was a cool guy. And both of them pull up. We all pull up. And as soon as we get there, one of the kids were, you know, he's just running his mouth and everything else. And I thought, well, all right, you know, I'm just trying to absorb everything. Like what's happening? What's going on at this house? Like we don't know what's happening, period. At any given chance, we just know we have to be there. And we're there. So we get there. And then, let's see. Now we're talking 2 years ago, you guys. I've slept quite a bit since then. So she comes out and she is pissed. She is so mad. Like, I can't even describe how pissed off she is. She's so pissed off. and she's so like full of rage and she's so hurt. You can see it. She looks dead at me and she gets, no lie, she gets maybe about a foot from my face and she's pointing her finger. Well, the officer on duty busts out the taser. And I thought, crap, shit is about to go down. So she's talking. I kind of wave him back a little bit, like, hold on a second, you know, don't do anything until, you know, if she hits me or whatever the case. If that's the case, then we're going to the ground and I'm going to do my job. So she ends up pointing her finger into my face and she's like, I swear, I don't quit for nothing. I don't bow down to no man. No man's going to tell me what to do. Da 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 da. F you. F him. F him. And she is just going at it. And I said you weren't going to quit, but you almost did. And she just looked at me. And I said, well, because you were doing self-harm and you were going to quit life. So... And it kind of like dawned on her, like, oh, crap. And she says, well, I've got people here that don't care about me. I said, well, if that young man over there didn't care about you, you wouldn't be standing here with me because he's the one that called and he's the one that helped you out. So we wouldn't be standing here. And it must, life must have hit her like a ton of bricks because it just, you could see in her face that it just like, just dropped like. It just, I don't know, like something just like it hit her. I said, whoa, let's go over here and sit down. So we sat down on her stoop and we started just talking. And I said, what's going on? You know, she wouldn't really tell me. And then she's like, do you watch Dr. Phil? I said, well, hell yeah, I watch Dr. Phil. Sometimes I watch him. I don't watch him regularly. But... you know, we got on that same level and we started talking. Then all of a sudden it was like, all right, cool. We're good. But I'm here for a reason. The reason is now I have to take you to the hospital. Not just like an ER hospital, you guys. Not one where you go get checked out, you know, not an urgent care. We're talking like a mental hospital. Like I have to take her. So... but it's not my duty. I'm not on duty. Remember this. I'm not even working. I'm there for court. So she says, I'm not going. I said, well, there's really no option here. You have to go. You have to go. I said, we can do it two ways. Either you go politely or we make you go. She says, I'm not going. I said, well, looks like we're going with option two and you're not going to like that option. So then she says, well, all right, fine, I'll go. So she goes in her house, grabs her stuff, comes out. And she's very strong. She's a strong headed woman. She's hurt. She's just a strong woman. It's almost as though it's hard to reason with her and just really tough, just a tough woman. And so she says, okay. So she gets in the car and she says, you're going to go with me, right? And I said, yeah, I'll go with you. Drove about an hour out to the hospital and she's like, I want you to come in with me. So I'm like, okay. Cops normally don't go in to the hospitals. So we go in. We help her out with her paperwork. We help her out with everything. And then I take her all the way into the back with where they have the, I guess they're orderlies. I'm not sure. They probably are, but so take her all the way to the back. So once we get back there, I'm helping her fill out her paperwork. And she looked at me and she's like, thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. You know, if you need anything, just holler at us. You know, we're not all shitty. So there you go. Get up. We leave. Head back to the PD. I just jump in the car to go home, you know, because court's over by now. So I was like, well, all right. I think it was like 5 hours worth of extra work that it was free. I did not get paid to do that. So I was like, all right, cool. So That flat Dr. Pepper is pretty legit. I'm gonna chug it with some, I'm gonna down it with some water. So now, and yeah, I got more cups and stickers because the other one's full. So now, fast forward, I'm on duty. This is where the body cam kicks in. I'm on duty. We get a call. I recognize the house number, and I was like, huh. I go over there. I start chit-chatting. And a lot of things have changed over the past couple of years, y'all. A lot of things, especially here in Oklahoma. A lot of things have changed. So I go over there, start talking to her. Well, I start talking to the house, to the residents of the house. It was a disturbance call. That's the only reason why I was there. Disturbance. And I didn't know what was going on. So we show up, knock on the door, people come out, we start talking, and they start telling me their side of the story. So I'm trying to catch, you know, their side. And basically, she's just being a bully, I guess. I mean, for lack of a better word, I mean, just kind of like walking into them on purpose. Like, what are you going to do? It just kind of like just kid shit. I was like, all right. That's when and then I said, she's over there. So when y'all see the body cam footage, that's when I start walking around and knocking. Because I did edit the beginning, found that part that I wanted to show everybody. And then, of course, an hour and a half later. So go over there, knock on the door. That's when she started crying and everything. And she starts just bawling. And then she's mad. And then she's bawling and she's crying and she's mad and she's pissed and she's crying and she's yelling. And she's the emotional roller coaster is just doing this. It's just constantly up and down. It's like the stock market. It just goes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And you're just like, fuck, man, I'm so tired right now. Because you have to maintain your, I don't want to say sanity, but you have to maintain your level of composure. You have to maintain it. And I'm just listening and it's just going up and down. I kept telling her, you need to calm down. I need you to stop yelling. Now, in the state of Oklahoma, they've changed quite a few things. Things like they have changed is Indian territory. So she's Indian. There's really nothing I can do because I'm not mutual aided or I'm not cross-commissioned to be to do native jurisdiction style. It's a whole big mess. So I end up calling... back's hurting. I end up calling a neighboring police department that's what they do. Indian law. And so I got him. So he shows up. Start talking to him about her and everything. So everything's kind of cool. But she's still like the stock market. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I was like, crap. Lady, I need you to stop, please. Please, 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 I need you to stop. Calm down. Relax. Please. You don't want to keep getting him pissed off because the minute he has to take you, I can't help you because Indian. It's Indian style. So then all of a sudden, she keeps going off and going off and going off and going off. And he's trying, and it happened to be like on a Sunday. And he's like, man, I can't get anybody to answer the phone at the hospital. I thought, crap. He's like, I'm going to have to just take her up there. I was like, well, I'm sorry, man. He's like, nope, you're good. You know, this is what we do. I said, okay. So long story short, she kept getting irate and getting mad. And I told her, I said, listen, If he does it one more time, that's going to be it. I can't help you. I can't. By law, I can't help you because it's the whole Indian thing. I can't do anything. And he ended up saying, all right, turn around. He put the cuffs on her and took her in. So he basically took her back to the same hospital where I took her like 2 years ago. But come to find out, after all of the yelling and all of the crying and all of everything, do y'all want to know why she was up and down like that? Because about a year ago, I believe, she lost not only her husband, but her son, one of her kids. And that put her in a tailspin of emotions. Not only is she battling mental health issues, she was battling that plus being in an argument with her, I guess you could say roommates, but their family, but their roommates, you know. So people mourn in a different way, in a whole completely different light. And that lady, she lost it that day, because it was all, I want to say it was almost to the year that she lost them both. You know, and that sucks, because now your heart goes out to her for that. And then now you've got to put her in freaking handcuffs. And then now you got to take her to the stupid mental hospital because she couldn't just take her pill that she's supposed to be taking. Because I'm sure the medication is expensive, but I mean, in Indian, I don't know if it's free or not. I mean, I don't know these things. I wish I did. But that's what, that's that body cam. That was that particular day. And you're right, Clinton. Mental health is no joke, because you have no idea the amount of stress, emotions. You don't know if they've taken their meds. You don't know if they've like flushed them all down the toilet. I mean, you don't know if they've overdosed on their meds. You don't know squat. So when you're going in as a cop, you're immediately attacked because you're the cop. You're the guy in the badge. That's it. I'm sick and tired of you. I don't like you. And you're the bad guy. And it's like, whoa, man, I just want to know what the hell is happening here so that way I can help you out. But when she recognized me, that was the whole key, was the fact that she's just busted out crying. And I knew something was up. God bless her soul. Because as soon as she was done crying, she asked me that particular day, she goes, "You got a girlfriend?" I said, "No." She goes, "You want one?" I was like, "You are freaking crazy." But don't say that. You can't say that to a mentally unstable person, because I mean, it's just not right. But yeah, that's what she did, like almost immediately. And at that point, I knew something was not going on. And it's crazy. I was just about ready to say that, Daniel. The joke is how little help there is out there for people with mental issues. And you're 100% correct. And you know, being in law enforcement, and when you go into a case like that, you're automatically defensive. It's just the way it. Unfortunately, that's what has to happen. You're just automatically defensive because you don't know what this person is. You don't know what they're capable of. You don't know anything that's happening. But if people would kind of sit back and say, "Whoa, hey, now you stay over there for a second. I'll stay over here. Let's just talk. Look, I'm not going to rest my hands on my taser. I'm not going to put it on my pistol. Look, hey, man, let's just chit chat. I'm going to hold it up here to where you guys can see where I'm at. And as long as we keep it cordial, man, we're good. I'm not about that, you know, straight out of the gate. Let's, you know, wrestle them to the ground." But it's very hard to have people that are somewhat compassionate. Daniel says the hospitals keep these people until the insurance runs out and kicks them back into the street. It's not about helping. It's about the almighty dollar. And unfortunately, I'm not going to disagree with that, because I mean, just bottom line, it's like, but see, that's the thing. She's Indian, and if I'm not mistaken, it's actually paid for. I'd have to look that up, to be honest with you. I probably should have. But I think it's actually paid for. I think it's actually because she gets like a paycheck for being a certain Indian. But I think it's like federally or something. But yeah, it really is crazy on how. And Daniel, I think also too, the minimum you can keep them in the hospital, I think is like 3 or 4 hours. And I don't even know how much that caseworker is actually working. I don't even know a caseworker, to be honest, when Native Americans should be free. I think it is. I really do. So when it also depends on that caseworker. Now, if that caseworker just kind of goes, what's your name? Mm-hmm. Have you been feeling like this before? No. Okay. What color shoes you got on? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. You're perfectly sane to me. We're just going to ship you back out. We got to get this bed. We got to get this room made up for somebody else with a better illness. And then it's like, what the fuck? That's what I think has happened. That's exactly what I think has happened. It's sad how people look at someone just by insurance or your background. Everyone should be treated the same. I agree. I can't speak on behalf of the clinics. I can't speak on behalf of a doctor. I can't speak on behalf of anybody. I just go off of my instinct when I approached her. And that approaching the first time, like the 2 years ago, that was the beginning of it. And then that's how I made the initial, the initial conversation with her and contact with her. Because while we were talking, she says, I wish there were more cops like you. And I said, I'm sure there are. But, you know, that kind of resonates with you for a minute, you know, because every police officer has certain character traits. Each one of them has a specific thing that they're good at. Some of them are good at talking. Some of them are good at. And me, I don't mind talking to people. But when you get somebody that you know nothing about, and she turns around and she tells you they need more cops like you, you know, that really felt good to hear it. But so Big Man says, basically it's based on income, percentages of heritage and family size from what I'm seeing. It's kind of like an insurance plan for everyone else. Yeah. Okay. Furnace says most healthcare workers are burnt out. Yeah, I 100% believe it. But see, Vernon, you've got people that are burnt out in the healthcare profession. You know, you've got people that are burnt out as police officers. And if someone says that, oh, that's a burnt out police, he should just go. He should just leave. Right? He's burnt out. Get him out. Get a new fresh head in there. The problem is, nobody wants to do that job. It is a thankless job. I'm not saying that, you know, there are lots of people that thank us, but it is a thankless job. Not everybody appreciates it, you know, and it's coming out completely wrong. I don't mean it that way. I do know, I get a lot of people that, you know, thank you for your service. Thank you for everything. And I appreciate every single one of them. I really do. And I just say, you know, I appreciate the support because we're the first ones. We're the first ones on scene, whether it be, you know, especially in the little jurisdiction that I'm in. I'm the first one that is on scene to a fire, that house that I posted on TikTok too. I was the first one. I'm the first one on scene at a medical. I'm the first one there because it's not because I'm bored. It's because that's your job. You're on call basically 24/7 and you're the first ones. You're the first one to evaluate the situation. Yeah. They're definitely burnt out. Retail pharmacy are tired as well. I don't know how it makes a difference on how you treat someone. Yeah. Are you asking me if it's like, if they're so burnt out, if maybe like the attitude towards somebody is completely off or different? It's possible. It really is. I mean, imagine working 80 plus hours a week, and then you get that one person that's like, oh, my pinky, look at the, and you're just like, listen, bro, suck it up, you know? So I don't know. It might be. Mm-hmm. We put out fires like all the damn time. It's crazy. It really is crazy. But there's so many different factors to being in law enforcement. You just have to, when I'm wearing that badge, personally, I feel like there's a purpose. And as weird as that might sound, I feel like there is a purpose. There's a reason. So my last name was given to me by birth. I make that last name proud. That badge, I wear that badge because I want my community to be proud of who I am. I'm going to uphold the law. I might not agree with it all the time, but I'm going to uphold it. Okay, let's key in on that. I might not agree with it, but I have to uphold it. It's black and white. You know, and it's just a big deal. And I feel like that's my purpose. That's what I was built to do. That's what I was designed for. And as weird as that sounds, I'm really comfortable putting on that vest. I'm really comfortable putting on the badge. I'm really comfortable just putting all my gear on. Yeah, it sucks wearing that, all that extra padding and that gear, and it's hot, and it's a brutal, brutal feeling. And it's, you know, and then when we had the riots happening here, you know, and I was on surgery, like I couldn't, there's nothing I could do. Now, our town wasn't having riots, but I know officers in those jurisdictions that are getting their asses handed to them left and right. And that irritated me. That irritated me to an all-time high because I can't be there to help them. You know, those are people that I know. And the last thing you want to do is, especially in law enforcement, is to go to a fellow officer, brother or sister, and go to their funeral. That's the last thing you want to do. And so every so often I'll be humble. I'm always humble. And I always kind of hang back, and I always listen to like the lady that just passed away that got murdered. What was her name? Ella, the young police officer, you know, one of the cops from Tulsa, Oklahoma. He got killed. The other one that said from Ohio, I believe he said, tell my family I love them. And that could be heard years. That was a huge hashtag, you know, tell my family I love them. Now, nobody deserves to get killed for doing their job. Nobody deserves to get killed just because to get killed either. So, I mean, I need to get in touch with Motor Cop Chronicles podcast. I think y'all would have a great episode together. I'm going to have to check them out for sure. I got to write that down. Crap, I don't have a pen. I'm going to take a picture of that. Give me 1 second. Sorry, you guys. I'm definitely going to get in touch with somebody. I mean, it's just you have to be humble in your craft, and you have to know what to do. You just have to. Been too far many. Yeah, there has been way too many officer funerals. Yeah, Verna, you were there. You remember I was doing the TikTok lives, and I would just stop talking. Like, tears were coming into my eyes because it was just, shit. it was just so just gut-wrenching that for a mistake that one cop has done, the rest of us have to suffer. We're all compiled under one big umbrella, and that really sucks. And the best analogy that I can basically dish out is like, you know, if I went to Maine and went and ate a Subway sandwich and I got sick at that Subway sandwich, or that Subway sandwich maker was an asshole. I mean, do I take it out on every single Subway or Subway sandwich maker? No, just that jerk that gave me the worst sandwich of my life. Maybe gave me rotten tuna. I don't know. But I mean, I'm not going to hate every single one of them. But I mean, it was crazy. It's so nuts how we compile everything that's happened in the police community, and we're all just lumped into one big thing. It's like mechanics, you know. Oh, you guys were just there to take advantage of the women. Oh man, come on. I was one 2 weeks ago, and there was one this Saturday. Oh crap, dude. Mm-mm. Nope. I'd probably go just to show the respects, you know, but one is enough, man. One is enough. There's no, honestly, you guys, there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. Not even, there is no such thing as a routine traffic stop. Not even, they might look the same, but they're definitely not routine. It is not the same one every single time. It's, and I hate when they throw that shit out there on that media. I have not listened to the news in Lord knows how long right now. I'm so disgusted in the news, because the best word I can tell y'all is that they over-exaggerate. And it just drives me nuts. There's a few words that have been like tuned down that just kind of whatever. Bottom line is that this is it. The last call is always the hardest. Yeah. We had an officer. He just passed away. Like I think bad heart or something. And yeah, the last call was tough because I knew him, you know. And the last call, hearing the dispatch crying as she's making that last call, that's what sucks too. Sorry, y'all. I think every high school student should have to do a ride along. I mean, I don't know about have to, but definitely, it's not frowned upon, you know. But there's so many people that are just quick to judge us. I invite people to do ride-alongs. You want to do a ride-along? Get your ass in this car. Let's go. Just fill this out. Now, if you have something on your driver's license, I need to know, because guess what? If there is and they want it and they want you, I have to do my job. We might be best friends, but I can't just go, okay, just go ahead and go after I've already called you in. It doesn't work that way. It's not like working at McDonald's and getting those free hamburgers back in the day. This isn't like that. This is big boy shit. You know what I mean? This is like grown up adult shit. Luann, I believe that they have Explorer programs in larger departments. We just have ride-alongs and, of course, the reserve. We don't have... I don't think so. We're just our department's just not that big. But I mean, I'm always down to answer questions. Like if I don't know the answer, I mean, shit, I'll find somebody that would know the answer. So some of the comments on that video, boy, I don't know if y'all watched it or not, but man, some of those comments, it just really started to break me down. I did a ride alongside and you learn quite a bit. So certain things that are hanging from your rearview mirror, if you've got beads just hanging, just, I don't know if they're scented. I don't know if they're not, a garter belt, whatever's hanging from the rearview mirror. Yeah, that's a no. That is PC to pull you over. Daniel said, I arrested my own son when he was 16 for vandalism. 3 weeks in juvie. Got his mind right. I mean, you know, it's an honor. That's the only thing I would be like, crap, dad, seriously? Yeah, all right. Okay, you know what? I did it knowing my dad was a cop. Yeah, all right. That's crazy. That's crazy. Funny, but that's crazy. I mean, shit on that. So y'all want to hear something? You want to hear something funny? So when I was 17 years old, I was just a little mischievous little prick. 16, 17, I don't know, mischievous little jerk. And I ended up having a detective actually go, she pulled me aside and she says, you are worth a lot more than what you think. And I thought, what? She said, you need to get your head on straight. She goes, there's too many eyes watching you and you are a good kid. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to bring me your progress report every quarter or whatever. Bring me your progress report because we want to sit here. I want to talk to you, everyone. And I thought, man, this lady is badass. Detective was what she was. And I did. I brought her my progress reports. And for the longest time, my goal was to make her proud of me. And I did. And I really hope I can find her. I hope she didn't pass away. She was older back then. That was 30-something years ago. So, I mean, there's so many different ways to being a damn good cop. There's so many different ways. We have some on our PD who can't even pull. We have some on our PD who can't even pull anyone. Our department is so down. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Daniel, in response to that comment, yeah, you play. We'll play. Yeah, exactly. We will. A guy pulled me over and I was like, I know you're not from here, but you can't have anything hanging around your rear view. Yeah. And it's true. You can't. So let's look at another spin on things, just so you guys know. Let's just turn around and do another little spin. So if you've got a third brake light, right? And let's say that said brake light has three bulbs. In our state statute, all three of those bulbs have to be functioning. You can't just have this one out. All three of them have to be functioning for it to be an equipment function. So little food for thought. Make sure you have all your bulbs in check or check your, you know, your state statute. It's all public knowledge, you guys. Everything I'm telling you is public knowledge. We don't have like a handbook that has like every single thing. What we look at, y'all can see it too on the online. First thing this morning, I had two cops right behind me for like 3 miles. I was like, what the heck? And then the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, I wasn't speeding. Hell no, I wasn't speeding. It's too damn early in the morning to be speeding. And I don't even know why people are speeding in the morning, man. That's so stupid. But anyway, that's beside the point. But yeah, that was my got body cam footage. That was my whole story with that. And there is another mental health case, I guess, that I worked. My body cam that day, the minute I was turning it on, it would work for like 10 seconds and then turn off. And I was like, this is garbage. This is garbage. And that's all you can say. I mean, you can't, you just have to just keep working through it. And everybody thinks sometimes these cop cars are just so cool, you know, when you get inside. But man, these things rattle. There's nothing, feels like there's nothing bolted down. The fucking plexiglass in the cage back there all day. Then you got your radar, beep, constantly. Then you got your laptop, and you got to aim it down a certain way, because that way when you flip it up, you can put your IDs there and do you're doing a whole laptop with one hand, because now you've got to, now that your eyes are here, you've got to look up, because you got to make sure if your person is not getting out of the car. I mean, there's so much. And then you got cars going by, you know, and you're doing your thing. You've got so many things happening. Sucks. And then you just gotta Luann's asking, are your uniforms changing? Here they're going to more SWAT gear and sand color than traditional. So I think we're going to outer vests. I still think we're going to be wearing our blues, kind of like keeping the traditional, because I think our jurisdiction was founded in like 18 something. So I think we're going to keep it more traditional. But I think we're going the outer carry just because of all the weight that's on your hips. And when you get in and out of cars, your pistol hits the center console. And you have to sit funny. You can't sit completely in the seat. You're sitting tweaked. That's why my back was always hurting when I was in law enforcement, you know, when I was there full time. Because right now I'm just a reserve. And believe it or not, at our department, working reserve, it's free. So, and when people are like, oh, so you're not a real cop. No, I am a real cop. It's still the real thing. I still had to go through things. And no, I didn't take only 100 hours worth of training. No, I didn't maintain a 2.0 GPA. Like some people like to think that we only get like 100 hours worth of training. Dude, that's barely even firearms training. So, but you know, you get your people that are like, oh my God, you know, you're not a real cop. No, I am a real cop. It's just, I'm a reserve and I'm doing this for free. I'm volunteering my time for my community. So there's no paycheck. Every time I go out in uniform, there's no paycheck coming in. So everybody knows, just so everybody's aware of that too. Not every reserve gets paid. So when you have the whole cliche of I pay your salary. Well, unless you live there in that jurisdiction, you do not pay that salary. I mean, so don't throw that shit out there either. But there's so much going on. And I think I do want to get CIT trained. What is that? Crisis and Intervention Tactics or something, I believe. And Daniel even said it too. That's how he started in 93 as an unpaid reserve. So I was a reserve, and then I went full time, and then I got kicked back to reserve because I failed the state's test by two stupid points. So that's neither here nor there, but I don't know. I love doing it. I really do. Like I said, I feel like there's a purpose. Like I feel like I've accomplished something. I feel like I've done my due diligence. I talk to kids all the time. I try to instill, you know, listen, you're still a kid. I get it. But check this out. The minute you turn 18 and you're still screwing around, you've got to deal with people like me, and you don't want to do that. I promise you. And the other officers are the exact same way. They all talk to kids. We try to, you know, and we try to like tell kids, you know, we're not bad. You know, the problem what's happened is that in the past, is when back in the day when you heard parents go, if you don't do all your homework, I'm going to call the cops and they're going to arrest you. And I want to say that in my mind, that's how it started. Well, I don't want no cops arresting me. You can't touch me for not doing my homework or eating my green beans. I like my green beans. I like my broccoli. I'm not going to get arrested. And it just kind of transpired from there. And it's just, I've had people call me up and they're like, hey man, can you do me a favor? Can you put your uniform on and go scare a couple of kids? No, motherfucker. How about you be a parent and go do your thing? Go be a parent and discipline them. Why do I have to dress up in my uniform and go do it? You know, you've been active since 95, 4 years. Oh my goodness, man. Thank you for your service. you've been in, wow, 95, dude. That's pretty legit, though. So you probably rocked the Crown Vicks for a while. How you like them Crown Vicks? I drove the Crown Vic. I liked it. It really is a cool car. I'm a Charger? I'm a Charger fan. The rear wheel or the all wheel drive Charger? Oh man, that's my jam right there. Yeah, the Zeus. Yeah, I can't. It's my apartment. I can't do anything about it. It happens. This is what happens when you have a Gorilla Lounge podcast. You never know what's going to happen. Zeus might start talking, and then a little bit will probably start running her mouth. And next thing you know, they're going to be running around the apartment, and I got to handle business. But y'all, that video went stupid. Like, I knew it was going to go, but man, it was, I didn't expect it to go that far. Like, I really had no clue that it would go that far. I figured maybe 100,000. No, we're knocking on the door. 200,000. And I thought, the only other viral video that, I don't even know if that's considered viral. Is that considered viral? I wonder if it's on Facebook somewhere. I'm sure it is. I wonder in like 3 years if I'm going to see it and it's got like a million shares. Be like, oh crap, that's my body cam. But I mean, you know, it just takes a certain amount of people to just be a decent fucking human. I don't care if you wear a badge. I don't care if you are behind the screen on TikTok and someone says, I don't know how much longer I've got in this life. You know, I'm done. Man, you better reach out and tell that person. No, you're not, bro. Tomorrow needs you. We're going to, you message me. If you need to talk, you message me. I don't care what time it is. If I see the message in time, I want to talk to you. I'll go post it online. Yeah, it's crazy. Like I knew it was going to go somewhere, but honestly, I didn't think it was going to go that far. Like that is nuts. But that's the backstory to that body cam. And you know, and there's stories, everybody has one. Every cop has a story with their body cam. But you always see the ones where they're shooting or they're in a car chase or they're in a fight or, you know, they live in Chicago and they can't fight. They can't do anything now to criminals. And it's thank you, Lightfoot. I hope, you know, it sucks because of all the innocent people that are there in Chicago. And see how my mind and I'm pretty sure Daniel's mind and everybody else's mind went that route too. All the innocent people that are there in Chicago, if every single one of those cops decided, you know what? I don't need to put up with this. I'm done. And they hung up their fucking guns and they hung up their belts and they hung up their vests and walked away because of Lightfoot. Guess what? Now the innocent people have nobody to protect them. And that's where it sucks. That's where it sucks. And it's, Chicago is just I haven't been to Chicago and I've got no wants to go to Chicago. None whatsoever. Like, you know, no offense to New York either, but you're not going to see me out there. No, thank you. Not New York, not Chicago. What's another one that I'm not going to go visit? For sure. What? Minneapolis? Nope. I'm not going to go visit that son of a bitch either. Detroit? I'm good. Yeah, Chicago. I don't know, you guys. I'm just one person. Daniel's just one person. You know, but if you can make the diff LA fuck around, right? But if you can make a difference, you every single one of y'all are just one person. But if you can make a difference in one person's life, you know, just by reaching out and just, you know, hey, we're good, you know, this or that or this or that. Man, you've helped them. I get sometimes I get these TikToks, man, and they're like, one of them now, fuck, this one almost put me to tears. His name is Chevy Guy on TikTok. And you can almost tell he's a little depressed. And I think one of my videos where it was like, am I good enough? Something to that effect. Am I good enough? Did I do it right? Or something weird. And he said, you don't know this, but you saved my life. I don't know what I did, but you know, that gives you goosebumps. You know, that gives you like, what happened? I'm sorry. How? Like, I don't know what I did. And I don't think he really told me what I did, but maybe I just reached out to him at the right time. And, you know, I don't know. And, so it's very humbling, to be honest with you, but I love doing it. I mean, that's why people can hate me all they want, but I love doing that job. I think that's probably, in a weird, sick, demented way, that's kind of like my happy place. I mean, I've got stories for days. I mean, I'll tell y'all some stories. You know, when I was growing up, you know, but I won't do it tonight because we're already on an hour now. So let me find you guys a motivational quote. It's probably going to be one like, don't be a shitty person. That's probably my favorite quote. Don't be a shitty human. I think I'm going to make a shirt that says that. Hashtag don't be shitty. And put the emoji poop on it. Now watch, somebody just took my idea and just ran with it. Okay, fuck, it came right up on it. You ready? In any given moment, we have two options. A step forward into growth or a step back into safety. In any given moment, we have two options. To step forward into growth or step backward into safety. And that was Abraham Maslow. So, you guys, I appreciate you guys hanging out, watching the show. Every Thursday night, it's on YouTube. This is the time. This is the channel. This is the place. I try to only typically hang out about an hour. Some episodes do kick up to about two and a half hours. Feel free to subscribe. The links are running up down there on the bottom. Stupid people keep me employed. Amen. Don't forget, you know, you guys hit the like, share, subscribe in the show. It's also on the audio version. We'll go on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breakers, Google Podcasts, everything. So that's where you'll hear this episode and many others. I'm still uploading from the old shows from the YouTube channel up to the Spotify channels. So, you guys, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for hanging out. See you again next week. I'm going to try to get a couple of people on the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a pretty cool stuff, man. We'll jump back into like human trafficking too. Like what signs we need to start looking for on the highways, you know, like what are just some things, you know, to keep an eye out for. But again, you guys, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for hanging out. And, I hope to see y'all next week. All right. Don't forget Breakers, Spotify, Apple Podcast, all of them. We there. Oh, excuse me. Next week, y'all bring me some food. I'm hungry. Y'all have a great night. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Don't be a shitty human. See ya.